I turned the microphone on before Brother Paul started singing, and there were a bunch of spots in there I wanted to shout amen, and I wasn't sure if it was going to come through the speakers or not. Sometimes I sing along, too. It was hard not to. Well, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 27, 2 Chronicles 27, verse number 1. We'll read all nine verses here. 2 Chronicles, chapter 27, verse number 1. The Bible says, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice, if you will, in verse 2, the Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And if you're in the habit of marking things, if you'll underline that phrase there, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then at the very end of that same verse, and the people did yet corruptly. Jotham did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. And tonight I'd like to preach on this subject, all that Jotham did. All that Jotham did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. And God, I pray that you'll seal the message to our hearts. And Lord, draw us closer to thee. And Lord, help us to be more like you. And God, I pray that you'll use this in my own life. And Lord, please meet with us tonight in a special way. Help me not to say anything that you wouldn't have me to say. And help me to say everything that you would have me to say. And Lord, please speak to hearts. And Lord, do a great work in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm nervous. I don't know if you can tell. I'm always nervous, but I'm more nervous because my uncle's here. I don't care about my cousin. I'm more nervous. Just kidding, James. I'm nervous because my uncle's here. And I meant to say, don't forget to pray for the pastor as he's away in Tennessee and all that, and I just acted like he wasn't even here and everyone's coming back or anything like that. So we need to remember him. Don't forget to pray for him. Pray for him. And I heard about a preacher, actually I heard him say it, a man named Tony Hudson. And he said, he's from Middle Tennessee, and he said one time, he's known for being long-winded. He said, when he got up to preach, he said, I'd like to preach for about 15 minutes tonight. He said, I never have done it before, and I'd like to do it tonight. And I would like to preach about 15 minutes, and so I borrowed Brother Mickey's watch just to make sure that I wouldn't go too long, and so I've got about 10 minutes left, so I better hurry. You see there in verse 2, and Jotham did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Of course, the kingdom of Israel, the 12 tribes, divided under David's grandson, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam went out and got advice, and he got wise counsel, and he got unwise counsel, and he followed the unwise counsel, and the nation split. And you have the 10 tribes to the north, and they became the kingdom of Israel, and the 2 tribes to the south, and they became the kingdom of Judah. And the kingdom to the north, Israel, we're learning about them in Sunday school on the Sunday mornings there in Hosea. They had no good king. Every king that they had was wicked and evil. And Judah had a few good kings. And Jotham is one of them. He's one of the few good kings that they had. And he was just like his father Uzziah. They were both builders. They were both successful in battle. They both had dealings with the Ammonites. And Jotham, he was a chip off the old block of Uzziah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And tonight I want to talk about all that Jotham did. First, he was right in his label. His label was right. His name. His name was right. You know, names mean things, and they really meant things back in the Bible times. My first name, Chris, in Greek means whimsical and humorous. It's pretty good. And in Latin, it means Christ-like. What? It means whimsical and humorous. And they say my last name, Taglarini, means kidney cutter or backstabber. So apparently I will stab you in the back and make you laugh the whole time. You won't even know it. That's terrible, isn't it? Names mean things. Hopefully I can fix the meaning of that name. The last name. I don't mind being whimsical and humorous. I'm just not sure if I want to be a backstabber. But in the Bible, names meant things. And Jotham had the label. His name meant Jehovah is perfect. And every time people said King Jotham, they thought about how Jehovah is perfect. Jotham, Jehovah's perfect. So his name, his label, pointed others to Christ. And his lineage pointed others to Christ. Uzziah was his father, a great king. And we'll talk more about him and some things that happened in his life. But his name meant, my strength is Jehovah. So every time you talked about Jotham and every time you talked about Uzziah, you talked about how Jehovah is perfect and our strength ought to be a Jehovah. And so their names pointed others to Christ. They pointed others to Christ in their label and in their lineage. But what about Jotham's life? What about his life? Did King Jotham's life point others to the Lord? And so number one, I want to look at his labors. His labors. Again, in verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And we're going to do a little character study tonight on Jotham. And the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord. He didn't do that which was right in the sight of man. He wasn't a man pleaser. He didn't do that which was right in his own eyes. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And we need more men like that. Amen? We need people who are going to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. And our churches are lacking in men that will do what's right in the sight of the Lord. We need more men to come in here and stand up. And we're going to talk about that some more in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And number one, under his labors, let's look at his example. The example. The Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. He did all that his father Uzziah did. He saw his daddy and how he was the king and how he ruled and how he spent time with God and how he did the things that he should do. And he said, I want to do what my daddy does. I want to be just like him. This evening we were getting ready for church and Sammy came walking out and he was wearing that shirt. And he said, Daddy, is this okay to wear? And I said, yeah, you can wear that. And then Beth came through and she said, he already asked me, but he didn't care what I said. He wanted to know what his daddy said. I like that. I like that. Sons looking at their fathers, seeing what their daddy does and wanting to be like their dad, wanting to be just like it. Bella does that sometimes. She's not my son, obviously, but she'll sit at the dinner table, and if I stretch like that, I look over and she's stretching too, and she'll do exactly what I do. I like that. I like that. I want to be an example, and Uzziah was the example that Jotham followed. If you'll look back just one chapter, chapter 26, we'll find out about Uzziah. Uzziah was a great king. He built things, like we said in the introduction. He was a builder. He was a good warrior, mighty in battle. But in verse 16, we find out that he did something that he shouldn't have done. He overstepped his boundaries. He was the king. He wasn't a priest. And it wasn't his job. It wasn't for him to do. He wasn't to go in and offer a sacrifice or do anything in the temple like that. But the Bible says in verse 16 of chapter 26, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. So Jotham followed the example of his father Uzziah up until this point. Up until this point. Uzziah, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And he tried to take the office of the priest, and that wasn't for him to do. And so he was struck with leprosy. And you can read more of that there in the verses there that follow. But he had leprosy, was a leper. And Jotham saw all that, saw his father, saw all that went on there. And I think just as much as I think that our sons ought to have fathers they can look up to and they can follow their example, we all have to make sure that when we are following someone's example that we only follow the good stuff, you know? We don't need to want to be so much like our hero that we do everything, you know. And Jotham followed the example of his father, but look at the extent. The extent. Am I too loud? I'm really ringing up here. Am I being too loud? No? Okay. But let's look at the extent. He followed the example, but the extent we see in verse 2 again. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. So he didn't go that far. You know, his daddy went in there, and his daddy tried to be the priest, but Jotham said, wait a minute, I saw what happened to my dad. I'm not going to follow that example. I saw that he went in there, and he became a leper because of that, and the things that followed that. I don't want that to happen. I'm just going to follow the Lord. I'm just going to do what my father did as much as he followed the Lord. And so his labors, so far so good. Jotham's a pretty good king, right? I mean, he's doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he's following the example that his father set, but only just enough to where he's not going to step in and do things he shouldn't have done. He says, howbeit he entered not into the temple. And the idea there is that he didn't go in and he wouldn't go in. And it wasn't because he didn't want to worship, but it was because he saw what happened to his father. And so we see his labors. And we ought to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And I want to determine tonight that I want to do that which was right, that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So number one is labors. So far, he's pretty good. He's a good king doing that which was right. Number two, his leadership. His leadership. He was a great king. He was a great king. And we'll look at it. The Bible says in verse 3, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forests he built castles and towers. He was a builder. He was a builder. I mean, that's growth. Civil engineering, you know? I mean, that's growth. The city is growing, and the nation is growing, because Jotham just keeps building things, and that's growth in the city. You want a leader like that. You don't want a leader that takes over and you know, everything shrinks, and you lose revenue and all of that. And when you have bigger cities and more construction and all of that, that's progress. And the more jobs you have there because of all the construction, the more revenue the city has. And so this is growing. He's a great leader. He's a great leader. He was a leader in construction. He was also a leader in conflict. The Bible says in verse 5, he fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. Isn't that nice to win a war? Isn't that nice? I'm not going to get political tonight, but he prevailed against them. The Bible says that he was a leader there. He was a leader in conflict. And he prevailed over and over and over again. When you read that word there, and he prevailed against them. It didn't just happen once. He just kept on and kept on and kept on. And he just beat them over and over and over again. He was a leader in conflict. But he was a leader in compromise, and not the bad kind of compromise. I'm talking about compromise, the good kind of compromise. He was a leader there as well. The Bible says the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. And so much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second and third year. So not only 1 year did they pay him all that, but 2, 3 years. That was a good compromise. That was a good treaty. In other words, we won't keep beating you up if you keep giving us money. That's pretty good. He was a good leader. He was a leader in construction and in conflict and in compromise. Again, so far so good. I like his labors. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I like his leadership. I want to be a good leader. I want to be that kind of a leader. By the way, we need some people to stand up and be leaders. We need godly leaders to rise up in the home, in the church, in business, nationally. We need godly leaders. There are things coming down that I heard today on the radio, and I'm sure you've already heard of it. If you don't, Brother Virgil can tell you all about it. There are things, these hate crimes and the bill that they're trying to pass with that, and things that I'm not allowed to say now, apparently, behind the pulpit, because anything that I say, a hate crime isn't just when you get physical with somebody, but a hate crime, the bill they're trying to pass is something that anybody that says anything or preaches against something, they can say that's a hate crime. Yeah, they're voting on that. They're trying to pass that now. And we need a leader to rise up nationally, a godly leader to rise up. But we need more than that. We need leaders in the home. And more than that, we need leaders in our churches. And we need people that are going to come into this house, the house of God, and be leaders. Leaders in our youth group, leaders in our Sunday school classes, leaders in our church that will take the gospel out from this place and We just need leaders. I don't know how else to say it. We need leaders to rise up. And amen. We need leaders. We need people that are going to take the lead. And you know, that you have leaders and then you have maintenance workers. And I'm not, that's not a slam on Brother Mickey. I really appreciate it. He's doing some work at my house that I really don't want to have to do. And so I'm not, that's not a slam on maintenance workers at all. But God didn't call Christians to maintain the work of the Lord. God called Christians to go out and lead and bring lead people to Christ and bring the gospel to other people, to the whole world. And we need leaders. And Jotham was a leader. He was a great leader. Leader in construction and conflict and in compromise. So we see his labors. We see his leadership. And number three, more than we need all of that, we need people of influence. We need people of influence. So number three, I want to look at his legacy. His legacy. The Bible says in verse 6, "So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God." Let's look at the individual. He was mighty through preparation. He was mighty through preparation. Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. That means every day he got up and he spent time with the Lord. Every day he got up and he prepared his way. When you look at the word prepared there, it means he was firmly following the Lord. He made ready before the Lord. He was firmly following God. And he did that every day. You can't firmly follow the Lord if you're not spending time with the Lord every day. You can't do that which was right in the sight of the Lord unless you know that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And you're not going to know it unless you spend time with him. So he was mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. He became mighty because of that. We wouldn't have the labors. He wouldn't have the labors he had, and he wouldn't be the leader that he was if he hadn't have prepared himself before the Lord. So far, so good. I want my son to be like Jotham so far. That's the individual. He was mighty in battle. He was mighty in bureaucracy. He was mighty in building cities, but he wasn't mighty in building saints. And we'll find out here when we look at the influence, his influence. The individual, Jotham, was mighty through preparation, but the people, under his influence, they just maintained their position. They just maintained their position. Back in verse 2, the people did yet corruptly. He did that which was right, but the people did yet corruptly. He prepared his ways before the Lord, but the people did yet corruptly. He was a great leader, but the people did yet corruptly. He was mighty in battle and bureaucracy and building cities, but not in building saints. The word corrupt there means they were ruined. They ruined themselves. They did corruptly. He was influenced by his dad, but he did not influence his son. He didn't influence his son. Look at verse 9. Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Several months ago, I think it was on Mother's Day, we heard a sermon about Hezekiah's mother. Hezekiah's father was Ahaz, Jotham's son. Ahaz was one of the most wicked kings the nation of Judah ever had. He sacrificed his children. Wicked, wicked idol worshiper. It's wicked. And that's the son Jotham raised. So Jotham did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But the people did yet corruptly. And his son became one of the most wicked kings Judah ever knew. Isn't that something? Jotham did that which was right. But the people did yet corruptly. Oh, we need people who will do right in the sight of the Lord. And we need people who will rise up and be godly leaders. But more than that, we need people who will leave a legacy to their children and to those coming along behind them, people of influence, people who are going to influence others for Christ. It's not enough for you to be saved. It's great that you're saved, and it's great that you're serving the Lord in church. But if you're not influencing others for Christ, that's not enough. If all that Jotham did was do that which was right in the sight of the Lord, then he didn't do enough. If all that I do is that which was right in the sight of the Lord, then I'm not doing enough. We've got to influence others for Christ. There are people out there, and this isn't just a soul-winning message. I mean, this is influencing anybody. I need to influence my children. I need to influence the teenagers that are here. And all of the teenagers that we have given testimony that they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But I still need to be the influence. that they ought to have. I need to be a godly influence in their life. Their moms and their dads ought to be a godly influence in their lives. You older men, you ought to be a godly influence in a young man's life. And by the way, all of you who are here tonight, even though the pastor's away, are encouraging this young preacher. And when I see the crowd that we have tonight, it's a great encouragement. And that's a godly influence in my life. But we need that. This church will die if we don't have a godly influence on those that are following behind us. Whether they be saved, unsaved, whatever the case may be, whether that we lead them to Christ, this church will die. It will die if we're not a godly influence. And I don't want my son to be like Ahaz. I don't want my daughters to be like Ahaz. I want them to follow and do the things that their daddy does. I want them to follow my example. And I'm not doing everything right. Good grief. Just a few minutes ago, I told my son he was going to be drinking through a straw. eating lasagna through a straw. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, boy. You forgive me? But I want him to get saved. We had a little talk the other night before we went on visitation. And I asked him if he had ever done anything. I said, have you ever sinned? And he said, no. And I said, do you know what sin is? No. Or no, he said bad things. I said, have you ever done any bad things? And he just had done a bad thing. Yes. I said, so have you ever sinned? Yes. And we talked about going to heaven and going to hell. He said he wanted to go to heaven. And I said, well, the only way you get to heaven is you have to be saved. He said, well, how do I be saved? I want to be saved. I thought, this is it. Wasn't it? He doesn't get it yet. He doesn't understand it completely. But he'll get it. He'll get it. You ought to hear him pray every night. All the kids. Bella says, can I pray, Daddy? I say, yes. And she says, help Jesus to save me. She doesn't know what that means. But she's praying it at 2 years old, you know. I want them to keep that up. But they won't if I don't influence them. On Sunday morning, of course, I drive the van and pick up the kids. And three of the boys, the brothers, their dad dropped them off. And so I didn't know if he was going to come and get them or not. Mark Anthony and Noah and Joshua, you know, I wasn't sure if he knew the church was over and all that. So I said, come on, they just live right down the street. I loaded them up in the bus or in the van, and I took them home. Of course, we passed their dad on the way home. We pulled into their driveway, and Noah, I don't know how old he is, 3? He walked up to me, and I had pulled into his driveway and, you know, put the van in park. And he got up out of his seat and walked up to me and puckered real big. And I leaned in and he gave me a kiss on the cheek. And he said, I love you, Brother Chris. I said, I love you too, buddy. I want to be a man of influence. Because there are little boys like Noah. There are little boys like Jacob and Sammy. Little girls like Mia and Gracie and Emily and Catherine. Little boys, little girls out there and in here that need to be influenced for Christ. And we need to leave that legacy. We need to leave that legacy. There are teenagers that need an older woman, an older lady to come up and wrap your arm around her. Say, I'm praying for you. There are teenage boys who need one of you men to wrap your arm around them. Say, I'm praying for you. I want to go out and get a burger. Some of you men need to come take me out for a burger. I'm just kidding. We need to influence people, you know? And by the way, you teenagers, you need to grab some of these younger ones, and you need to be an influence on them. You need to be an influence on those that you work with, those that you go to school with. It doesn't have to be somebody younger than you. It can be somebody your age, somebody older. I could be an influence on one of the oldest men here, Brother Vic. I mean, you know, We can all influence each other for Christ. If we're not influencing somebody else, then we're not doing all that we need to be doing. I'm trying to find a place to land. It's not enough to have labors. It's not enough to be a good leader. We've got to have that legacy. We've got to influence others for Christ. Who are you influencing? Who are you influencing? If the answer is nobody, find somebody. Find somebody. There's 50 or 60 people here tonight. You can pick one of them and be an influence for Christ. I went down a list of people that I know that I work with, and I work with quite a bit because I go from business to business to business making deliveries. And I made a list of people that I know, and people that I would say, maybe I'd call some of them friends, some of them acquaintances, but I know all these people. And there were over 130 names of people that I come into contact with every day of my life. And many of them, most of them, I'm not sure if they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I ought to influence them for Christ. I ought to give them a gospel tract. I ought to be a faithful witness to them. And I say that to my shame that I haven't done that. And you ought to do it too. And if it's good for you, it's good for me. We ought to be influencing others for Christ. I can lead all I want and bark orders and say do this and do that and tell the kids to do this and tell the teenagers to do that and whatever. I can wave my arms up here and lead the orchestra and lead whatever I want to do. But if I'm not influencing them, then I'm not doing what I need to be doing. And so who are you influencing? Or maybe, I'm through, I'm just talking now. But here's the invitation. Let's look at his labor. Are you doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord? If you're not, then you ought to come tonight at the altar and get it right. Get it right. Determine right now, drive a stake a mile deep. I'm going to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. From henceforth, from this day forward, I'm going to do that which is right. Or maybe you're not a leader. Maybe husband or father, maybe you're not a leader in the home that you ought to be. Or maybe you're not a leader in the church that you ought to be. Mother, maybe you're not leading like you ought to be a leader. Maybe at work, you're not taking the stand for Christ and leading at work like you ought to be doing. And if that's you, then you ought to come to the altar and do business with God and ask God to help you to be that leader that you ought to be. And or maybe just come and pray that God will raise up a national leader and someone who will stay the tide, I guess is the only way to put it. Maybe that's you. All of us ought to find somebody to influence. All of us. So there's the invitation. If you're not doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord, come and get that right. If you need to be a better leader, come and get that right. And if you want to come and pray that God will lead someone to you, and help you find someone that you can influence for Christ. Won't you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Thank you for listening. Brother Paul is going to lead a hymn of invitation, or going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a minute. I wonder if there's someone here tonight, nobody's looking. Somebody here tonight that would say, Brother Chris, I've never trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. I can't do that which is right in the sight of the Lord because He's not my Lord. I've never asked Him to be my Savior. Will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. There's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. I want you to raise your hand. Please, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Would there be anyone? How many would say, Brother Chris, God has used this message and has spoken to my heart. I've spoken my heart tonight in one of those three areas. I need to do that which is right, I need to be a better leader, or I need to leave a legacy and be an influence on somebody. Will you raise your hand if God's spoken to your heart tonight? Amen. Thank the Lord. He spoke to me too. Won't you come tonight as we stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed? Brother Paul's going to sing this hymn of invitation. The altar's open. Won't you come and do that?